This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon you. Inshallah, today we're going to be talking about the reforming or the correcting or the rehabilitation of the heart. The heart is very, very, very sensitive, so we have to be very delicate and take good care of it. The scholars say that the heart is like a king that has soldiers. So what are the heart's soldiers? It's your senses, your eyes, your tongue, and so on. So whoever wants to know the state of his heart should look at the state of his soldiers. Is it not said that if a king is righteous, so are his people, and if he is corrupt, so are his people? So let's look at our hearts to find out how our senses are doing, our soldiers, who will be affected by its king. The Prophet, peace be upon him, said, "Truly in the body there is a spot, mudra. If it's righteous, so is the whole body, and if it's corrupt, so is the whole body. And it is the heart." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us that a blind person is not the one that can't see with his eyes. Although that's what we all acknowledge, right? That blindness is of the eyes. But the Quran proves that there's a much bigger side to this truth, and that is blindness of the heart, not the eyes. Let's look what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Hajj, verse 46. فَإِنَّهَا لَا تَعْمَ الْأَبْصَارِ وَلَكِنْ تَعْمَ الْقُلُوبَ الَّتِي فِي الصُّدُورِ. Truly, it's not their eyes that are blind, but their hearts which are in their chests. So it's the heart that gets blind. So I wonder, whoever was reading the Quran right now, did he have the inside of the heart, or was he blind? Did the words go through to his heart? Did he feel and understand with his heart? Did he see it, or was he blind? And that's why the hearts are what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks at. And I'm saying this so that each one of us would go back to taking care of their hearts again. This heart has to be reformed, corrected, and purified, inshallah, by talking once about repentance and another time about sincerity, or depending on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and so on. So the idea is that this heart that lies between our ribs has to be reformed. We have to exert all our efforts to make it alive, and it has to live a real life. And the heart cannot be alive except by knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and being close to Him. The Prophet ﷺ says, Allah does not look at your forms or your bodies, but He looks at your hearts and your deeds. My dear brothers and sisters, when people look, they look at the suit you're wearing, the car you're driving, the way you style your hair, and the beauty of the eyes. That's what people look at, right? But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks, He looks at your hearts. Please be careful, please, that we don't focus on beautifying what people look at and forget what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks at. It can be that all what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala people look at is beautiful, and all that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks at is ugly. Look at your heart, for that's where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks. And the reason for the series of lectures is to maintain our heart and purify it. The heart that was called by that name in Arabic, al-qalb, from how much it goes through changes of state, taqallub. The Prophet, peace be upon him, used to repeat this famous supplication. Ya muqallib al-qulub wal-absar, thabbit qalbi ala deenak. O Allah, you who changes the state of the heart and the insight, stabilize my heart on your religion. The Prophet, the infallible, al-ma'asum, used to make this supplication. See how the Prophet was worried about the state of his heart? The Prophet, peace be upon him, could have told us in the form of ordering, say this dua, so and so. But no. Even the Prophet needs to make this dua himself. Imagine. Why am I saying all this? I'm saying all of this to people who have been oblivious of their hearts for many years. He looks in the mirror 10 times to make sure that his appearance looks good, and he never looked at his heart to make sure it looks as good as well as his outer appearance, to make it pure and righteous, like Prophet Ibrahim said in Surah As-Saffat, ayah 84, إِذْ جَاءَ رَبَّهُ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. Behold, he approached his Lord with a sound heart, a pure heart with no impurities in it, no evil in it, no jealousy from another person sitting next to you, no grudges and no hatred or envy or love for lust that controlled it for many years, a pure, sound heart. This was a very important introduction to remind us of the importance of paying attention to our hearts, and that every sister, I beg you, would pay more attention to our hearts more than is given to her face, her hair, and her ornaments. So, how are our hearts doing today? This is why we find someone like the companion Salman al-Farisi calling unto his brother Abi Darda, and the Prophet, peace be upon him, had called them brothers. Akha baynahum. Let's sit and believe together for an hour, mention Allah, for the heart changes and turns from state to state more than a boiling pot. Ijlis bina nu'min sa'a nadhkur fa inna al-qalb akthar taqalluban min al-qadr fi ghalayan. Who's saying this? Salman al-Farisi. So the gathering of believers together preserves the heart from changes of state and mood. Attending a lecture in the mosque to sit with a friend and recite Quran, to mention Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I beg you to take care of your hearts. The title of this lecture, inshallah, today is Allah's love to his worshippers or servants. Mahabbat Allah lil abd. And this is part of reforming and purifying of the heart. Allah's love to his servants, his worshippers. And I thought how to talk about this topic. And after searching, I found that very few people who spoke about this topic. And what was mainly spoken about was how people loved God. A lot of books and audios about how worshippers and servants who loved their creator, people who died in the sake of God's love, and people who sacrificed for Allah's sake, and people who exerted a lot of effort, and a lot of lectures about how to love God. So I decided to have this lecture, inshallah, in two parts, about people, how they loved Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the part we'll talk about today or now, which I thought was better to start off with, is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves us. Today's lecture is going to bear this meaning, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves his worshippers, his servants, and what are the signs of this love, and examples of people that love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves, and how much he loved them. And you might ask me, what's the goal or the purpose of this lecture? We already know how much we love God, right? And others might say, it's enough that we'd be told, love God, and people will just obey. As the Quran says in Surah Ali Imran, verse 31, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ فَاتُّبَعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ. Say, if you do love God, follow me, God will love you. Right? That's an order. Love God, and God will love you. It could have come just in the form of ordering. Love God, and he'll love you. No. You'll be surprised by the amount of Quranic verses and the hadiths and examples that tell us how much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves us. So what's the goal of the lecture and what's the benefit? For one main reason, and that is a lot of our youth, our men and women, who have been used to the fact that their relation with God is that of a slave, al-abd. He orders and we obey. Pray, we pray. Fast, we fast. So it's a matter of assignments, taklif. And the worship, unfortunately, is performed in a very routinic way. And sometimes we say, oh God, why did you order me to do that? And people will be forced to, you know, they perform because they just have to. They have to obey. Okay, I'll wear the hijab. I'll obey instead of being thrown in hellfire, right? All these statements are due to the lack of understanding of today's lecture. And I'll keep repeating as we go on. Look how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves his worshippers. So that I can transfer you from people who worship with or out of routine to people who worship with love. People who say, oh Allah, you can love me all this love with all my weaknesses and sins and flaws. If this is the love you love me, then how will I, your servant, love you back? This is today's goal. I want us to feel embarrassed of ourselves and of our way of worshiping. How can God love us all this love and give us with such generosity and we only give very little back? No, Allah, from all what I heard, I want to be that servant that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. And whatever you order me to do, I will do it just to get loved by you. This is today's goal, inshallah. So let's start. Some of the proofs that show us how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves his worshippers. And as we said, God could have ordered us to love him, right? And we just have to obey. But look at this verse from Surah Al-Ma'idah, what it says. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَنْ يَرْتَدِّ مِنْكُمْ عَنْ دِينِهِ فَسَوْفَ يَأْتِيَ اللَّهُ بِقَوْمٍ يُحِبُّهُمْ وَيُحِبُّونَهُ. Soon will God produce a people whom he will love as they will love him. You see in the verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts his love to us before ours to him. And as if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is trying to teach us that there's a very beautiful relationship here. It's not a matter of assignments that have to be fulfilled. No, it's a matter of love. The fact is, between Allah and his servants is a lovely relationship based on love. And this love starts from God to us. And mind you, he is self-sufficient. He's in no need for us. Listen to the hadith. It shows us what happens when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves his worshippers. The Prophet, peace be upon him, says, if Allah loved a servant of his, إِذَا أَحَبَّ اللَّهُ عَبْدًا, he calls Gabriel, peace be upon him, and says, I love so-and-so, therefore love him. يَا جِبْرِيلِ إِنِّي أُحِبُّ فُلَانٍ فَأَحِبُّ. He, the Prophet, peace be upon him, says, so Gabriel loves him. فَيُحِبُّ جِبْرِيلِ. I want you to imagine right now that someone's sitting and listening. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves him. So right now, in the heavens, Jibreel is being called on to love that person. I wonder, is it you? Is your name being called right now in the upper heavens for Jibreel by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your name being mentioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the heavens, ordering Jibreel to love you? Continuing the hadith. Then he, Gabriel, calls out in heaven, saying, Allah loves so-and-so, therefore love him. And the inhabitants of heaven love him. Allah yuhibbu fulan fa'ahibbu, fa yuhibbuhu ahla samawat. He, the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, then acceptance is established for him on earth. ثم يوضع له القبول في الأرض. Do you see the love? He makes everyone on earth love that person. We have to see how merciful Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to us, how He loves us, and how He bestows us with His generosity. I beg you, don't let your relationship with God be a relationship of fear of Him or fear of hellfire. Of course, we sometimes have to feel this meaning, but the base or the origin of this relationship is love. So look what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does when He loves His worshipper. Wouldn't it be sufficient that He loves him and that's it, right? Like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves you and that's it? No. Why would He call Jibreel telling him, I love so-and-so, love him? Do you see how He's announcing His love to you? He's announcing in heaven, I love so-and-so, I love you. Some people are ashamed or embarrassed to show their love to God in public, in front of their friends or peers, in fear of being made fun of or accused of being old school. Some girls are afraid to wear the hijab, so they're not pointed at as like, oh, look at her. She's close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And He, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, announces His love to you. Where? In the heavens. What kind of a relationship is this? It's very strange. Try to comprehend it. So if Jibreel is ordered to love you, he loves you. But Jibreel as well can't hide this love or keep it a secret. No, he calls unto the angels to love you. And it's not enough that you're loved in the heavens. No, this love is sent down to earth so that people can see it and know it. How? By putting acceptance in people's heart for you. Subhanallah. And this is why we hear in the Quran about many types of people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. Meaning it's not something rare. Inna Allah, Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 222. Inna Allah yuhibb al-tawwabin. For God loves those who turn to Him constantly, or those who repent. Those who repent? So they sinned? Yes. As a worshipper repents, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's love is bestowed upon him. So all that we said about what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does when He loves someone from happening in the heavens and calling happens? Yes. Those who repent. And He says in Surah Al-Baqarah, Inna Allah yuhibb al-mutatahhirin. And He loves who keep themselves pure and clean. And Inna Allah yuhibbul muhsinin, for God loves those who do good. Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 195. And who else? Inna Allah yuhibbul muttaqin, verily God loves those who act right or the righteous. And who else? Inna Allah yuhibbul muqsitin, for God loves those who judge in equity. All of these types of people are loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So His love isn't just specialized for a certain criteria like the prophets only? No. You can repent right now while listening to me from a sin that you've been consistently doing, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will love you. Listen to this hadith Qudsi and what happens if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves His servants. مَنْ عَادَ لِي وَلِيًّا فَقَدْ آزَنْتَهُ بِالْحَرْبِ ETC, to the end of the hadith. Whoever shows enmity to someone devoted to me, I shall be at war with him, to the end of the hadith. But what is the meaning of wali, or being devoted to him? Is it, as we know by tradition, people who have dariha or a grave and people go visit them and call them awliya'ullah, salihin, righteous people of Allah? No. A devoted person or a wali could be you, or someone listening right now wearing a pair of jeans and a shirt and a cap. And no one would ever think that this person is a devotee to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a wali. So what is a real wali? Not the one that people made up with the grave and all that stuff. It's very clear in Surah Yunus, verse 62. أَلَا إِنَّ أَوْلِيَاءُ اللَّهُ لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. Behold, verily on the friends of God, there is no fear. Who? الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَكَانُوا يَتَّقُونَ. Those who believe and constantly guard against evil. So would you believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and fear Him? So does that mean that I don't commit any sins? No. It means that the majority of your life is searching for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's obedience. So if that's how you are, whoever shows enmity to you, Allah will be at war with him for you. Do you see how big this love is? Can you picture Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, I announce war against so and so for you? If there's a righteous, pure wife and her husband harms her or hurts her, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala announces war against him for her. Do you see the levels of love? And I'll keep repeating today, keep looking at this relationship as one of love and not as one of assignments.